Hello and welcome. My name is Jill McAteer and I'm Head of Employment Law at Citation. In this episode, I'll be looking at the HR points to consider when thinking about the future of homeworking in your business. From 29th March, the legal requirement to work from home where reasonably possible ended, but government guidance continues to be that employees should work from home if they can until at least step four of the roadmap, which is now due to take place on 19th July. At that point, government guidance will be reviewed in light of the findings of the report into the ongoing need for social distancing. But it's generally anticipated that with the success of the vaccination programme, most people will be looking at a return to the office this summer. But what does it mean for your business? Are you really happy with the benefits homeworking have brought to you? Or are you counting down the days until you can get everyone back to the workplace? In this episode, I'll be looking at the HR considerations you should bear in mind, regardless of which of these scenarios you're facing. If you are convinced that homeworking in your business is here to stay on a permanent basis, there are a number of things you should consider. Most importantly, do your employees feel the same way? Not all employees have enjoyed the experience, with many feeling isolated and unable to switch off from work. So first of all, speak to them and discuss how they are finding it and see if they're happy for it to continue. If you have very different views, it is important to take advice on handling these situations to avoid the risk of a potential claim. If you are in agreement, consider first of all whether you need to make changes to your contract of employment. Things to think about in particular if you are changing the place of work is the degree of flexibility you want to retain, as there may be many times when you want the employees to come into the office. Or indeed, you may want to reserve the right to revert back to office working if you encounter problems with the arrangement later down the line. You may also want to beef up provisions regarding confidentiality, which is a major concern for employers given the lack of control they have over access to company information when employees are working from home. It is also a good idea to review the homeworking policies you currently have in place. Or if you don't have policies but are moving to permanent homeworking, it is very important to put these in place now as they will set expectations, and this is so important to avoid problems further down the line. These should include provisions regarding the equipment employees are using, clarifying who owns it, who maintains it, who is responsible for insuring it, who is responsible for the repair and replacement if this equipment gets damaged. It is also important to include an acceptable use policy, making it clear who can use the IT equipment and for what purpose. These policies should detail the hardware and software security rules, including responsibility for reporting security breaches and setting out the penalties if employees do not comply with these rules. Also, in the point of data security, you should also include rules regarding the secure destruction of company documents. Now would also be a good time to review your communication and management strategies in place for your home workers. Trust is absolutely key to successful homeworking, and the best way to optimise this is through open communication and by setting clear expectations. Communication is also important in picking up on potential issues the employee may be experiencing with their mental health. Even before the pandemic, we found that mental health issues were already a huge challenge for employers, and very often one of the major reasons for sickness absence. The effects of the pandemic are only likely to have exacerbated this, particularly for home workers who are likely to feel more isolated. It is important that managers have regular catch-ups with their home workers, just to check in to see how they are doing. Ideally, these would not solely revolve around work discussions, as the better the relationship with their manager, the more likely employees will open up about problems they're experiencing, and the more likely the manager will be able to spot when things just don't seem right and offer additional support. I know that when I have my regular catch-ups, I always spend the first 10-15 minutes just having a chat about, you know, what's going on at home and all sorts of what we've been watching on television, what their recommendations are for Netflix, just simply because I think it's important to maintain that personal relationship And those are the sorts of conversations we would be having if we were in the office. I think there is a tendency when you're having your meetings virtually to get straight down to business. And I think that really does undermine the personal relationship, which is so important in maintaining trust. It's important to also consider how to manage better communication between different teams. This is key not only to ensure effective working, but by fostering those relationships, you can avoid a grievance culture creeping in. I've seen a large increase in our clients' employees complaining about bullying and unreasonable behaviour because so much of their interaction with their colleagues now is just done exclusively by email, where a really quickly typed message can so easily be misinterpreted. Finally, don't forget your health and safety obligations. Although at the start of the pandemic, the HSE helpfully said that there was no need to carry out risk assessments for temporary home working arrangements, we're now at the point that these assessments really do need to be carried out. This can be done by the employee under your guidance, and there are plenty of resources available to support with this. If you'd like more information, please visit citation.co.uk and browse our articles and resources. Join me after the break when I'll be discussing things you should be considering now if you feel homeworking has not been a success and you are looking to bring it to an end as quickly as possible. Welcome back and thanks for joining me again. So far I've discussed how to incorporate homeworking as a permanent arrangement within your business. But what if you view it as something which has to be endured in the short term until you can get back to normal? Well, if that's how you're feeling, you're certainly not on your own. We're seeing many employers who are looking to bring these arrangements to an end as quickly as government guidance allows. Some had welcomed homeworking initially, but now they're finding that although it brings increased flexibility for home workers and the potential of reduced overheads, they are now feeling the effects on the business in terms of a lack of collaboration, a detrimental impact on onboarding new starters and developing employees, and the gradual erosion of company culture and employee engagement. So if you fall into this camp, what do you need to be aware of? Well, first of all, it's important to understand how your employees are feeling. Is it working as far as they are concerned? Or are you lining yourself up for potential conflict when the government gives a green light for everyone to come back to the office and you expect everyone to return, but then find that your employees just simply don't want to change their home working arrangements? It's also important to consider, why is it not working? And it's sensible to look at this very carefully. There are three key areas where I see employers getting into trouble on this. I think a sensible starting point, if you think it's not working, is to consider why it's not working. And there are three key areas where we have seen employers get into difficulty and indeed end up in tribunal because of the way in which this has been approached. First of all, it's very tempting for employers to think it's just not working, but not have a clear business case for why that is the case. The reality is, if your employees have been working from home for several months now, and you have never explained to them why it's not working, on the face of it, it looks as if this is a success for your business. So be very, very clear why it's not working. Secondly, we often see employers focusing on the individual rather than the role, and therefore saying, we don't feel that homeworking works, when in fact what they mean is that, well, some people carrying out that role could work from home, but actually this particular employee can't be trusted to work from home. The way in which an employment tribunal would approach this is to look at the role itself and not the individual, unless, of course, you have tackled the issue with the individual and you have got an audit trail of particular issues relating to their performance when working from home. And thirdly, and this happens very commonly, we see employers being overly influenced, not by the home working arrangement in that particular role, but by what other colleagues would think about it. Either that if I grant it for one person, I'm going to get everyone wanting to work from home and therefore I want to say no on that basis, Or equally, well, if I allow this person to work from home, I'm going to get lots of grief from other employees because they're always going to be thinking that that person isn't pulling their fair share of weight when it comes to team workload. And therefore, that influences them unduly when it comes to making the decision of, is home working working? So the best thing you can do now, if you're expecting employees to come back as soon as the government permits this, is to start the conversation with your employees and say, first of all, find out how they feel about it. Is it working? And if it's not working for you, explain where it's going wrong. And it could be that there are some issues that can be fixed, but if they can't be fixed, at least you will start to put together a paper trail to show why it's not working, rather than leave things to the very last minute and then have a conflict situation which could potentially end up in a tribunal claim. So what can you do as an employer if you want people to come back into the workplace and they're reluctant to do so? Can you force them to come back? Well, at the moment, while government guidance remains that if employees can work from home, they should do so, it would be very difficult to justify forcing people to come back without a very clear business case as to why they can no longer work from home, especially if this is something they've been doing for many, many months now. However, when government guidance changes, as we anticipate it will do later in the summer, that will be a different matter then. And what you can do will very much depend on why they're saying that they don't want to come back. When government guidance on working from home changed last summer, we saw employers being inundated with employees saying that they didn't want to come back because they didn't feel it was safe to return to work. And if that is the reason why employees are saying they don't feel that it is appropriate for them to come back, you need to handle that very carefully, because employment law gives special protection to employees and indeed, from May this year, to workers who are raising what health and safety issues at work. Now, in that situation, the emphasis really needs to be on making sure that the employee can see what measures you have taken in relation to your COVID secure risk assessment and ensuring their safety when they do come back. A lot of employers fall into the trap of thinking that if they've put all the groundwork in, they've put all the measures in place, all they need to do is simply say to the employee, don't worry, we put a lot of effort into this, take our assurance, it's safe, and that will be sufficient. But unfortunately, that really isn't the test that a tribunal would look at. It's not so much whether your workplace is actually safe, it's whether the employee believes it to be safe. And therefore, the emphasis really needs to be on you sharing the risk assessment with them and actually showing them what you have done so that they can see for themselves, addressing any particular concerns they've got. It's important to remember that if your employee has any medical conditions which would class them as being either clinically vulnerable or clinically extremely vulnerable, you need to go further than just rely upon your COVID secure risk assessment. You need to carry out individual risk assessments for them. And again, it will be important to share those with the employee so they can see the measures that you have specifically put in place to keep them safe. If, despite all these efforts, the employee is still reluctant to return to work and, in fact, refusing to return to work, it's important to take advice, because employees who are raising health and safety issues as a reason for not returning to work have a lot of protection under the law, and if they're treated to their detriment or indeed potentially even dismissed because of their refusal to return, that can give rise to employment claims. And in fact, those damages are potentially unlimited and employees do not need to have any minimum service requirements for that. So it's really, really important that you're on a very solid footing if you want to try and force individuals in that situation back into work. If it's not a question of the employee feeling unsafe about coming back to work, but they simply enjoy home working and want that to continue, then on the face of it, you can require them to come back to work, but you may find yourself facing an application for flexible working. Now, The law in relation to flexible working hasn't changed, but the way in which employment tribunals will assess those applications is likely to be entirely different now we've had the experience of the pandemic and mass home working. Technically speaking, any employee who has got a minimum of 26 weeks service can make a request for flexible working. And it's important to recognise that the right is to request flexible working rather than automatically have flexible working. And of course, a flexible working request could be that the home working arrangement continues on a permanent basis. Now, the employer has got 8 statutory reasons why they can refuse it. And essentially, they all boil down to whether or not the request would genuinely adversely impact the operations of the business in some sort of material way. But as I say, the fact is that any application you get at this point may well involve employees who have got a track record of many, many months of home working, and therefore there will be more of an emphasis on employers if they're saying it doesn't work to show how what's transpired over the last few months didn't work. This is an area where we're expecting to see a lot of tribunal claims in the future. And again, it's another reason why if you don't feel home working is working for your business and you haven't actually discussed that with your employees, now is the time to start doing so, both from an employee engagement point of view and from the point of view of actually starting to document the difficulties home working is causing the business. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it useful, please feel free to leave a review. If you're a Citation client and you need help with either getting your contracts and policies in shape for a future of permanent home working, or you want to start preparations for returning employees to the workplace and managing the difficult conversations around this, then please call our advice line where our employment law experts will be happy to help. If you're not a Citation client, please check out the guides and resources on our website. Thanks for listening. Bye.